They've asked that we do kind of a series on attributes of God, and the wisdom of God is one that's always been a blessing and an encouragement to me. And so I just wanted to look at some passages with you tonight about the wisdom of God. And let me get my thing going here. Here we go. The three words that are often used together, especially the second and third one, they're knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And throughout the scripture, one of those that stands out, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And these thoughts are often used together, especially understanding and wisdom. In fact, as you go through the Proverbs and Psalms especially, you'll see those two words frequently used together. The Greek word, I know nothing about Hebrew, so so the Greek in that, Sophia, is wisdom, a skill, expert in doing something, getting the desired outcome. So you see somebody has real wisdom in their work, that's what they're doing, is coming out with the desired outcome and projecting it and what they want to do. And skills in the affairs of life, forming the best plans, selecting the best means for a good or positive end. And we're always talking here, real wisdom now is leading to a good, righteous, morally righteous kind of an end that we're talking about. Phronesis, another word that's used, comes through as wisdom, but also has a primary meaning of prudence. And is used in the wisdom context, often in terms of people and dealing with people. Prudence, the ability to know and understand in your dealing with people, a skill and carefulness in dealing with them. So wisdom is understanding enough that we act or speak, and I put the don't there, because sometimes the wisdom is we don't do something, or the wisdom is we don't speak, we don't say a word. So the wisdom, and according to a good, or even beyond that, and we're talking good biblical terms here, a righteous kind of an outcome, one that's pleasing to the Lord, and so forth. So real wisdom there. Skill in the affairs of life and prudently dealing with people. I'd like to look, though, at my kind of concept of these terms. And we have knowledge, and that is just basically knowing about something. And we've got a lot of knowledge today, just basically knowing it, or even maybe superficially knowing about it. I know about this much of quantum mechanics, and but beyond that little bit, there's mountains of material and books and everything written on it that I know nothing about. So I know it's there. The astronomy things, I know about some of those things, and I know a little bit about a lot of things. But then the next one up is where you really understand it. You understand it in the true depth of it. We often know people, but do we really understand the person? Even people we know very well, and we don't really understand them completely. But it goes beyond the knowledge of it. It's a depth there. Now, we're talking about the attributes of God, but we're going to talk about us first, okay? Because then we can have a better understanding when we jump to talking about the Lord. So we have the understanding, but then there is the wisdom. And I put the wisdom as using the understanding or working with the understanding. And so the wisdom is kind of the action part of understanding. Indeed, there is a sense there in which the action or inaction or speaking or non-speaking of wisdom shows our understanding. Somebody comes through a situation, does well with it. He behaved wisely, did well in that. He really understood the situation. that we say. So understanding in that. And so wisdom to me is going beyond the understanding. It's kind of the action of it with a good and positive and righteous outcome of it. I contrasted that. Those words, you know, sometimes people put them together, and indeed in some contexts they're kind of almost used interchangeably. But there's a real sense there where you can back out of it and say, especially the first one and the last one, talking about knowledge and wisdom. And Lucifer, a devil, is a good example of somebody who has knowledge. Indeed, arguably, possibly the most knowledgeable of all the creation, knowledgeable. Zero wisdom, okay? Zero, zero, zero wisdom. You know, you think about the angels and then contrast to our situation. They came into existence in holiness, and all they knew was God's love. And I think Satan, with all his, Lucifer, with all his knowledge of the love of God, did not really understand the holiness of God. And there was going to be a judge. There has to be a judgment. He's a holy God. Whereas you and I, we were born in sin, and we our first encounter is with God and his holiness, and then we have to come to Christ to understand his love for us. And sort of kind of the reverse there of with the angels. But today, knowledge is increasing exponentially. Back before computers, they had an index which was all the medical articles published in a year. And it was indexed then according to the title, subject, and then also by the author. So you could look it up either way. And a whole year was usually two or three volumes. So even while I was coming through my medical training, it went like from three volumes to five volumes to eight volumes, you know, just year by year. It was just incredible the way it was increasing. And now, over the 40-some years I've been in it, is when all the specialties broke off. And so you had ophthalmology. Well, now you go into ophthalmology, you go into like there's six different specialty areas, and then there's specialty areas under those specialty areas. And that's going on with all the areas of medicine. And indeed, all the different kinds of sciences that exist around the world today. Knowledge is just increasing exponentially. Where is wisdom in all that? It's out the window. A real lack of wisdom. Indeed, in the biology research and stem cells and where they try to combine different species and all that, there's just a total lack of wisdom and understanding of God and his creation in it all. Wisdom of the world, their best choices that they can make while not considering or even understanding God and his ways. Just trying to make their good best choices. 1 Corinthians, I've got it there. Let me read both those passages. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that have come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Talking especially about Christ and the cross. So, in all these things, in contrast to it, we have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Now let's look at those three terms. What does God know? Everything. Okay, he knows the end from the beginning. Okay, he knows all things. Everything. What is his understanding? Absolute. Totally top to bottom. He understands the breadth, the depth, and everything in this whole creation, everything, absolute. And all his ways, the outcomes, the whole process and the outcomes, all his ways are right, righteous. All his ways. Let me read a couple of the verses. Romans 1:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Isaiah, for he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. Isaiah. Colossians 2:3, referring to a previous verse about the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And one of my favorites here, Revelation, one of those glory passages, and all the people before the throne saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's how it ends. Amen. The wisdom of God. Let's look at some parts of it there. The wisdom of God in creation. Okay. You know, we're just now, we've taken over the last, I'd say, 10 or 20 years, taken another step in physics, going down. We thought we really had everything identified when we got down past the molecular level to atoms and neutrons and electrons and protons, and boy, we got the answer. Now we're finding out there are subparticles. And now they're finding out there are subparticles that are building up all these other things on top. And the depth of the wisdom of God down to every particle in the universe. And that's the depth of God's understanding of it all. The breadth of it. One thing that really just kind of woke me up and I just kind of got excited about, they took a, you know, they've got the Hubble telescope in space, and they decided to focus it on the emptiest spot in space. Instead of looking at one of the stars or another planet or something, they went, you know, there's a little kind of a dark area, it doesn't appear to be any stars, so they just focused on it and they kept it there to gather as much light as they could. And you know what they saw through that little dark spot? 1,500 galaxies is what they counted in the dark spot. Okay. And, you know, the breadth of the creation of God. Love Pastor's illustration where the, I think it was Sunday you talked about it, wasn't it, when the guy came in with a rope and he had the rope went all the way out the back. And he had just his hand on the end of it, and he says, now, this is where we're at, and this is what is going to be coming, you know, and all the way out the door. You know, so often we kind of look at where we're at as kind of the pinnacle, like this is where we're at, and there's this little vague thing going off history and a little vague thing going off into the future. But no, we're just one part along the way of God's eternal plan. You know, you sit back and think, we're going to be with God for billions of years. And enjoy his presence forever. And the magnitude of his creation forever. And it's just the wisdom of God in creation. Proverbs 3:19-20. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Jeremiah 51:15, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. It's all there. God behind it all. How about the wisdom of God in Jesus? You know, they had just a vague idea, really, out of the Old Testament. Now, we, in retrospect, were able to go back, were able to see things in the Old Testament. And they had an idea of the Messiah coming when Jesus came to earth, but the full scope of it, they really did not comprehend. And even all the way up through the crucifixion till afterwards, when Christ rose again and began to really open their eyes and their understanding. God with us, okay? So in Jesus Christ, he, through the Son, spoke, and the whole creation came into being. And then that same Jesus came and lived in the creation, giving us a perfect example and the way back to God forever. But unto them which are called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But of him are you in Christ, who is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'm trying to be logical, and I'd read it the other way. If I were Paul and written it, I'd start with redemption, and then we are sanctified and through that, and righteous living and wisdom and growing in God. The wisdom of God in salvation itself. The Lamb of God. You know, in Revelation, you would think that if you're going to be looking in Revelation, you're going to look at Christ before the throne. And how is he introduced in chapter 5 of Revelation? As the Lamb, as he had been slain. And I know people get a lot of weird ideas about that. But as the Lamb, as he was slain, he's got the marks, and he is there at the throne, humble and totally surrendered to the will of the Father. The Lamb, as he had been slain. And as he had been slain, he got the marks, and he went to the cross, totally surrendered to the will of God, to the will of the Father in all things. And that's how he is beside the one. And God then is glorified in the Son, and the Son is glorified in the God, in the Father. And the finished work, that's a term. You know, as we go around the world, we're dealing with so many different religious groups and so many different ideas and everything, and everybody's working for their salvation. Whatever they want out of life, they know they have to do the works. And we go with a message of the finished work of Christ. That is such a huge blessing. And I just sometimes stop and think, praise God, it's a finished work. You know, if God took care of all your sins but one, and then you had to do something to take care of that one, you're done for. Because there's nothing you can do to get God's wrath satisfied for your one sin from the eternal God. No, you're not going to do it. There are no other sacrifices, not enough in this world, not enough things you can do to pay for that one sin. For Christ did it all. It's a finished work. And it sits on the mountain of God's love. You know, I was blessed this week of that verse that all of us know so well. Just the very first part of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Wow. That's love. Wisdom in his word. The word will endure forever. It's the word and the spirit that give us wisdom. Both in our understanding of God and of our salvation. And I have I call it the DNA illustration. In our bodies, in each cell of our body, we have a complete DNA. And just like we've got a complete Bible. And it might be in different translations, but it's a complete Bible. And that Bible goes to all kinds of different cultures around the world, and it ministers to us in all kinds of different situations, from family, financial, relations with other people, salvation, eternal life, hope, desperate times. It's all here and deals with it. And in our body, every cell in our body has the same DNA, but part of it is used there and not another part. So the same DNA is telling this cell up here to be one of the cells for your eye. And in another part of the body, it's telling it to be a liver cell. And another part of your body, it's telling it to be a heart muscle cell. And in another part of your body, it's telling it to be a skin cell. And all those have very different functions and very different uses. And yet, at the core of it is the same DNA, if you will, but speaking to us in all the different kinds of life. And it's just the wisdom of God in His Word, how this could be brought together into one book to help us understand Him and how we live. I'm blessed by the wisdom of God. He's the source. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. And I think that should be probably a capital H. Of the holy is understanding. So just knowing Him, that's where it starts. Now, coming back to dealing with us, okay, God is the ultimate, is the end. He is above all. So if you're trying to do something and have a projection of it coming out right, righteous and everything else, and good, and you try to do it without any consideration about God, there's no logic to that at all. It's not logical that you would deal with, you would forget in all your plans God and leave Him out and His wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He is the source. So we ask Him, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally without upbraiding or without reproach, and it shall be given him. And our prayers for other, I like this Ephesians 1:17. Paul praying for others. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. To really grow and understand. So ask wisdom of God. And so bring it back down to us now. Principles of wisdom. And I've thrown a few up here. And can you guys think of any others? I have laying aside pride. Let me give you a good pride verse. When pride comes, then comes shame. With the lowly is wisdom. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And departing from evil. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Careful in our speech, that it be seasoned with love, grace, seasoned with salt. And you may know how you ought to answer every man. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Careful in what we say. Throw in some other here. Patience, kindness, love, serving others. And then there's a biggie, forgiving others. You think of any others? And these kind of general precepts that the Lord gives us? Yeah. Good listener. Amen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Another one? Asking God for help. Prayer. Okay. Prayer would go on the list. Any others?
Not acting rashly.
Yes. patient man, the man who has his patience strong. Others? What about governments? Huh? Obedient to governments? Any others? Just ones that might come to your mind? Yeah.
Stewardship.
Yeah. Good. All those are the general principles. And then what do we do then beyond that in specific instances? Pray. Praying for wisdom. A famous, all of us know in James. And that is that we pray for wisdom and ask God to guide us. And who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So meekness, kindness, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. I like that one. I summarize another way as somebody who listens to others, pauses and will listen, as you already brought up the listening. But, you know, I think many things in homes and governments and so forth is if people honestly listen to others, stopped and listened, sincerely listened to them. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy. That's that famous one. Do justly. What, and love mercy. And walk humbly with thy God. Amen. One of the IOU passages. Inward, outward, and upward. Inward, do justly. Outward, love mercy, and upward, walk humbly with thy God. And from the very fountain of wisdom. And I'll give you just a personal testimony. And the more I learn, I think this is true of all of us, the more we learn, the more we find out what we don't know. And you know, I was so smart when I was 14, and then I just got dumber after that. you know, I just kept discovering more and more what I didn't know. And even today, you know, and you think you understand situations, but here's the thing. Do you really understand them enough, or do you understand the right parts of it? Or you might understand most everything except maybe one or two key items. We run into that in medicine. You know, a patient has this list of symptoms, but then they don't tell us about one key item. You know, they don't bring it up to tell us that would change the whole thing over to something else. Maybe there's just one other thing. So as I get older more, you know what I've done now for years? I just pray continuously for God's wisdom every day, virtually every day, and grace. I mean, how can any of us make it without God's grace? You know, we can't. And his wisdom, there's going to be things that we, and be careful of the things you really know what to do. I found that sometimes those, really have to be careful that I always pray about those as well. Because sometimes I don't know what I thought I knew. Or all of it. So, and pray it from the very fountain of wisdom. What does he know? Everything. What's he understand? What's the depth? Absolute understanding. And what are his ways? He is righteous in all his ways. Whoa. Very definition of total, complete wisdom, absolute mountain of wisdom. That's where we need to go for our wisdom. The attributes of God. It's just always been a blessing in my heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us in your Son. We're so thankful for the finished work of Christ. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for just our time together to study your word. Rejoice in who you are, your holiness and your wisdom and your love for us and your great salvation. We just rejoice in that. Rejoice of the hope we have, not just in this life, but all that is to come, to live before you, the God of the universe, in love. And what a blessing, my, all through your Son. So rejoice in you, Lord, this night. Rejoice in your wisdom that has been demonstrated to us in every part, and that we live because of your wisdom and your grace and your working. Bless now. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen us. All of us have things that we're facing, and our own trials and things that are difficult in our life. God, give us wisdom. And Lord, we look to you for your grace in those times and through the times. Bless now in our time together. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.